Welcome to Your Weekly Dose podcast, the only show for those who missed the Mark and Brian radio program. Coming to you from Orange County in Southern California. Hear it happen live without a net every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Download past episodes directly from our website, yourweeklydose.com. But if you're on the go, subscribe through iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, and make sure you leave a review. Now, here's this week's show.
Morning, everybody, and welcome in. We've got a full house today. Happy Saturday to all of you. I see Nia.
Hi.
I see producer Casey.
Good morning.
That man right there.
Huh?
That man I'm looking across at. That is not Forrest. That's my old partner who's been with me from day one. Coming in, filling in for Forrest, it's Mr. Steve Silva.
Heidi ho, neighbors.
And this is Sean Roberts, and this is Your Weekly Dose Podcast.
Now, we thank you for joining us today as we are streaming live to you from Orange County, California. If you're new to Your Weekly Dose, this program is about having fun. We recap our past week experiences and enlighten your day through laughter.
That's right. Laughing at all the things we experience in everyday life. The embarrassing things, the silly things, the awkward things, even the things we're afraid of talking about, but damn it, we still do.
And you know, the things that connect us all, the things that make us human. And as they say, laughter is the best medicine.
And to all of our listeners, old and new, as always, we love it when you guys are a part of the show and join in the conversation. You could do that several ways. Comment on each of our episodes on our website at yourweeklydose.com.
Send a message via Twitter and Instagram at Your Weekly Dose 1.
Say hello to us on Facebook at Your Weekly Dose.
Or, if you want to send us a personal message, you can email us at yourweeklydose1@gmail.com.
Yes, indeed. And we've got a big show for you guys today. We've got a lot of things going on. We got 10:30. We got Paul Preston from the Movie Guys coming in. We got horoscopes because it's the beginning of the month. And returning again today, we've got at 10:50, we got Oz Davis talking about the World Series. Will the Astros win? Will the Phillies win? Will it go to Game 6? We'll find out. We got funny signs, and also there's a new mayor candidate here in Los Angeles that all of a sudden decided to throw his hat into the ring 3 days before the election, and we'll be talking to him as well.
You can always download past shows for free from our website, yourweeklydose.com. But if you're on the go, you can subscribe through iTunes, iHeartRadio, or Spotify. Just search for Your Weekly Dose, and most importantly, tell the world what you think of us. So please rate and review the show.
Absolutely. And today's theme is Valerie by Amy Winehouse. And you guys need to figure out, why are we playing this song today? And I'm hearing something else. Why am I hearing something else? Okay. Why are we playing this song? We don't know. But actually, we do know. You got to find out, though, why we're playing Valerie. And if you want to find out, just throw in your answer and see and take a guess. And who knows? You may win a Your Weekly Dose t-shirt. That's right. So to email us, you got to do is...
Can I enter?
Yeah.
Yeah. Would that be fair since you told me what it is this morning?
Well, if you want to, you know. But people have to guess, why are we playing Valerie by Amy Winehouse? So email us your answer at yourweeklydose1@gmail.com. Now, last week's winner was Lacey from Plymouth, Indiana. She won the t-shirt last week because we played Cats in the Cradle by Ugly Kid Joe for National Cat Day. So that's the reason why. So congratulations there to Lacey in Plymouth, Indiana. All righty. Well, we're all catch up. Oh, and guys, don't forget, too, that any of the music that we play here on our website, good Lord, on our podcast, I'm not thinking this morning, am I? on our podcast. You can always go to our main sponsor, which is Amazon. That's right. Just go to our website. There we go. Click on the Amazon banner, bookmark it, and then shop to your heart's delight. Because you know what? Christmas is just around the corner. And not only that, but you can get all your stuff for your Thanksgiving dinner and everything, all your decorations and all that. Do all your shopping there on Amazon. Just remember to go through our website because they give us a little love every time you do. So that's the most important thing. And including downloading Valerie by Amy Winehouse.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Valerie.
Now, you say you never heard this song before, right?
Nope, never heard it.
That kind of blows me away, man.
Yeah, it's good.
Because this was like a number one hit for her, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I guess I didn't listen to much of her music.
Yeah. I didn't care for her that much myself, but then I've gone back and, you know, kind of rediscovered her and everything. So and
could play the song.
Just so I can play the song and tell us why we're playing this song. Email us, yourweeklydose1. Win a T-shirt.
And because you play a song every week isn't the answer.
Right, exactly. That's not the answer. No. Oh, boy. Should we catch up with each other?
Woo, why not?
All right.
Hey.
But my mouth. Right. Well, I'm going to start off with my birthday buddy because your birthday is in two days.
So it's Sunday. It's on Monday.
On Monday.
Monday.
Today's Saturday.
It's Monday.
So happy 73rd birthday.
Oh, man. That sounds horrible.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, my old partner, Steve Silva, will be on Monday.
73.
Give me some echo here, please, on that first fader, the blue one. Yeah. 73 years old.
Wow.
73.
That's a cool effect.
I'm surprised I can still walk.
I think all of it's a surprise.
Oh.
All right, you turn it off now.
Was that 1 foot in a grave and the other foot on a banana peel?
Something like that, yeah. So how do you feel? First off, how do you feel, you know, knowing your birthday is Monday and you'll be 73?
I feel great. I do. I feel great.
As opposed to 37, you know. 30,
well, 37 is a lot more fun, I'll tell you right now. So...
There was a picture. I got to tell you this real quick. There was a picture. We were running. What was it we were doing? Oh, Roman and I, we were talking about Gino.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were looking at one of the memorial videos that I created for Gino. And there's a picture of Gino, Mikey, you, and Gomer.
Oh, boy.
And it's at the old El Torito. And you guys are singing karaoke.
Oh, okay, yeah, I remember that.
And Roman was shocked on how dark your hair was.
Yeah, it used to be really dark.
Dark, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And long, and oh, I miss it so much.
Yeah, because he goes, oh, I recognize so-and-so, I recognize Mike, you know, recognize, you know, my godfather recognize Mikey, and
right.
he goes, but who are the other two? I said, well, that third guy, that, I said, that's Steve. No. Oh, my God, it is.
That's so funny.
Surprise.
So, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So,
we have videos coming through and being sent everywhere now.
Oh, that's funny. Oh. So how you been, my friend?
Take so many you know, buttons, I, so many push-ups.
I have to say, when I got back from Utah,
mm-hmm.
I was, like, really depressed.
Really?
I loved... Going there, I loved helping my nephew and his wife. I it was like there was nothing else I could have done.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a great time there. I did get to see my daughters and the grandkids while I was there. And so, you know, it worked out really well. It's just that the situation of him having cancer and, you know, the stuff that happened to him in the treatment and then afterwards, and then she got hurt, and so that's why I was there to help them.
Right.
And, you know, it depressed me.
Mm.
I enjoyed it, and if it were to come up again, I'd be there in an instant.
Right.
I have no problem with that. It's just that coming off of, you know, the last so many years since Gino passed away, it's taken me years to finally get to a point where I'm going, hey, I feel good. You know?
Right.
I'm having a good day. I feel good and everything, you know. But then going back.
Without the gummies.
Going back and seeing the condition my nephew was in when I got there. Right away, I was like, oh, shit, this guy's, he's, we would be lucky if.
He survives.
What am I sitting on?
There's something. I don't know.
It's just a tag.
Oh, okay, I thought it was something stuck to me.
Typical Steve.
Oh, yeah.
Welcome to the show, folks.
But,
sitting on.
The last
Princess
your
and
ass.
The Pea episode here. Your weekly dose. Mm-hmm. The new birthday tradition.
What is Steve sitting on? We bring Steve in once a year to find out what he's sitting on.
What can he fit on now?
Hold on, I saw a picture in online, and this guy, what was he doing? Playing golf or something, and he accidentally fell backwards when he wasn't supposed to, and he fell.
he fell into a
big thing of cactus, and there's a picture of him, and they've got these. They're about that long,
oh god,
and that big around, and they're stuck all over him.
He's a porcupine
on his back and on his arms and stuff. It looks. Oh, my God. I feel so sorry for the guy.
Yeah.
It looked horrible.
You're not supposed to fall back. You're supposed to fall forward.
Yeah, well.
Yeah.
Whatever you do, don't fall in a cactus. That's,
yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, last few weeks, I've been feeling really good. And,
good,
and,
man.
Yeah.
Well, it's nice you, well, to have you here.
So, well, and I'm of course, glad to be here.
And filling in for Forrest and everything. Mm-hmm. He's out doing a film festival with his son. His son. Worked on a film and everything, and they submitted it and what have you. So now it's at this film festival.
Where?
And somewhere in the Midwest, I think. So
Wisconsin, I think.
Is it Wisconsin? Yeah, it's right,
yeah,
Wisconsin.
It's like right by his hometown.
Yeah.
Forrest's hometown.
And so they entered it and everything and what have you. So it's, you know, see how it does overall.
Hope it's successful.
So, yeah. So that's where he's at today and everything. So, but thank you for being here because I know.
Hey, no problem. You know, it's not like I was
doing anything
my social
important.
Calendar was full or anything.
Oh man!
And I forgot what I was going to talk about. So
that's okay. We don't mind. Yeah. Nia, how have you been?
I've been good. I've been hustling. You know, auditioning, and then also just like having meetings with some people. Just like different, you know, casting coordinators or casting directors or agents or whatnot. And so, yeah, I've gotten the chance to like meet some really cool people and just have some like fun conversations.
Nice. Very cool.
Yeah. It's been fun.
Good deal.
I think there's a plane.
No, that's a big giant bee.
Casey looked distracted.
Yeah.
But.
And mad.
Yeah.
Oh,
and mad.
Hey, don't forget that when the jets come in, though.
I know, but at least that's usually like a show.
Yeah, because everything else rattles.
This is just like a mosquito.
A mosquito plane?
Yeah.
It's like a leaf blower or something.
In the far distance. Yeah.
How dare thee travel.
Casey, how was your week? Because you've been away for a while.
Yeah, my week was pretty busy. I did a four-day, 40-minute project this past weekend. Mm-hmm. That was a... overnight shoot, so that was pretty intense. Yeah. So the first day we ended up doing like a 10 a.m. to like an 8 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And that one was pretty easy. But then the next 3 days were all 8 p.m.s to 6 a.m.
Oh, those are... Those mess with you.
So it was funny. People would get like a little goofy and silly.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like 2 and 3 o'clock.
Yeah, yeah. The behind the scenes from.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So that was really nice. I got to test out all the new sound equipment that I just invested in.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, everything's working out well. I only missed one cable in all of my purchases that I had, you know, made. So that was kind of nice. I felt like I'd gotten myself pretty well prepared.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, right. And then one cable that I forgot that I was able to bypass it, so.
Good.
Yeah, that was nice. Able to find a way to just kind of
get around
it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I guess those tentacle systems that work the time code, they go into the BNC ports, but you can also put them on a quarter inch and just plug them right into the track.
Ah.
Yeah, so I was able, so I was missing the appropriate cable to go to the BNC from the BNC barrel into the 3.5, which is the 3.5 millimeter into the tentacle.
Okay.
And so...
This is tech talk, people.
Yeah, sorry. And so, but they were able to plug it into the, to like any of the tracks. I just put it on the eighth track because it was the only one I knew I wasn't going to use for the day.
Yeah.
And I was able to take time code through that whole way.
That's good because you didn't have to go through the BNC and then convert it over to the XLR, which then you have to reverse the polarity on that to make it go into the quarter inch, which then pushes it back to the BNC through the XLR.
And then connect it to the LMNOP.
Yeah, exactly.
I feel like I just zoned out at the wrong moment and I came back and I was like, what?
And that's how you achieve warp speed.
Like, then I heard the element of, I was like, oh, they're still talking about chords. Okay.
I just love the fact that you just zoned out and then came back and went,
that's
oh,
Nia,
they're still there.
That's okay. Always Nia. Listen to the show.
Yeah, listen to the show later on.
I know. No, I get distracted so easily.
So funny. Well, that's good. Well, I'm glad you're doing well in the, with the new film and everything, all the new equipment that you got, because it was a pretty big deal. Because this went from like a $2,000 budget to a couple million.
No, so that one's still in pre-production.
This that one,
an additional project that I ended up picking up as well. Yeah, so more credits added.
Wow, look at you getting work and everything.
Yeah, it's been nice. So.
I'm so proud of you.
I know. Surprisingly, the Facebook groups are really where you find most of it. I have a subscription to the Staff Me Up, and then I have been paying attention to the Facebook groups, and the Facebook groups have been definitely more lucrative, more immediate with their contacts with you than Staff Me Up.
Yeah. And you know what? I think word of mouth, though, is also going to help with that, too, because it's the face group, group and everything.
Yeah.
And people are going to say, hey, have you worked for so-and-so? Have you worked for so-and-so? Oh, yeah, she's great. She's this, she's that, or whatever, So it's that it kind of, even though you're using the new technology kind of a thing to network, it's still going to be that also old-fashioned thing of word of mouth. Networking too, and that reliability that you have.
Yeah, and word of mouth always, like, it's still definitely very prominently a thing. Like, I'll have friends text me and ask, like, oh, I'm looking for this person with this position, or and, I just send out my contacts for whatever positions they need, and
nice. Yeah, I've been having a good time with it. And then I was also hired for the same production, for the same four-day project. I also was head of craft services.
Wow.
So I did.
So you were double dipping there.
Sound and
you?
Craft services, And I actually had a really good time with it too. And this is another gig I got just because I had the software for the budget.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. And I had it on my website. And so when the guy contacted me, he was like, hey, your website also said you do this. And I was like, my website.
That's like the second time that software has gotten you a job.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
What is so important about this software?
It's easy budgeting and you can export it really nicely. And so it's really friendly for investors.
Got it. Okay.
So in craft services, did you bake any special cookies or brownies or anything?
No, nothing special. I know. No, I paid attention to everyone's dietary needs.
Oh.
Yeah, but it was nice. I made and I like to cook. So the meals that I made for everyone, there were only 15 people on set. So it was a small crew.
Yeah.
And so I was able to cook meals for them, which was really nice. So I made a Mediterranean meal with couscous, and I had like peppers and onions and chicken that I had made. And then the next day we did like vegan tamales that I had purchased.
Mm-hmm.
And then I made Mexican rice and we did like chips and salsa. And then on the third day we had like Domino's pizza because they wanted to like have a little like fun day, I guess.
Right.
And then on the fourth day, which was actually kind of like a testament to my dad, a meal that he used to make for us all the time when we'd go camping in like a Dutch oven, which is he would take like pork chops and then he would dump cream of mushroom soup into the Dutch oven.
Mm-hmm.
And then he would dump like a can of green beans in there and stuff like that. And he would just like set it in the thing and let it all cook together. And it's really nice. And so then I had a big thing of couscous from the other meal left over, and so I put that out too, and so it was like a big plate of couscous and then like two pieces of pork and then drenched in like the cream of mushroom soup and like the
I do something similar
beans.
But I use the golden mushroom.
Oh, okay, cool. It's one of my favorites.
So what I'll do is I'll get pork chops and sometimes I'll cut it up.
I feel like you smell food
into squares. Either I'll do the whole pork chop or I'll cut it up into squares. Cook that because it'll cook a little bit quicker that way. And then get a can of golden mushroom, sometimes two, depending on how much pork I'm making.
Mm-hmm.
dump that into the pan, and of course, you know, it's like a deep dish, like a 4-inch, you know, skillet kind of a thing. And then instead of putting water, I'll get red wine.
Nice.
And fill, you know, the can of the soup halfway up with the wine and dump that in and mix that all up and let the wine burn off. Then put a cover on that. Put a cover on that and then let it simmer for a little bit. Oh, Aunt B. Oh, good cracker.
It's so good.
And
it was nice. It was really cool because some of the production was a little chaotic for some of the departments. And one of the kids came up to me and he was like, I just want you to know that the best part of this whole production has been your food lunch breaks. I was like, yeah. I love that. So I headed up like the craft service table too. So I had like all my snacks, which feeds like all my OCD because I had like a snack for this and a snack for that. And I had like a sweet snack and a salty snack and like kind of a little spicy snack. And
every snack.
That's nice.
Yeah.
I feel like now I need to bring you on craft services. You just sold yourself to me.
And just remember, you got to love couscous because she said it twice. So
that's true. And I served it twice too.
Yeah.
Because it was that's so awesome. Nice.
That's great.
Yeah. So it was a lot of fun, and it's been kind of a good like confidence boost in the equipment that I purchased and the time that I spent, you know, researching what I wanted to get.
Good deal.
Yeah.
Good deal.
Yeah.
Well, for me, it's been a quiet week. Of course, last week we announced that I'm now working for Yamaha.
Yeah.
So my hours now, I have no hours for anything anymore.
It's just 12-hour days every day.
For 4 days. So Monday through Friday, I'm now working for Yamaha, 8:30 a.m. to 5 p.m.
Yeah.
And then luckily I'm still working for the Westminster Academy of the Arts, still teaching music over there with them. And so all my students that were at 5:30 or before on Wednesdays and Thursdays got moved over to Monday nights and Tuesday nights. Mm-hmm. So I was able to retain 90% of my students, which was great.
That's cool.
So I only lost 3 students basically. And so everybody else moved over. And so now it's like once 5 o'clock hits here, I got to make sure I'm out the door, get over there before 5:30. Before my first lesson, sit in, log in over there, and then teach until 8:30. So it's like I'm home at like 9 or whatever. And so it's like I've got like no time Monday through Thursday now. So Fridays is like my only free night, you know, and everything. So I'm just like going, oh, my God, I don't know if I can do this or not. And
and then Friday comes around and you have no energy to do any of the things you have to do. Like I am slowly running out of clothing.
Oh my gosh, I feel that. I didn't do,
really?
I couldn't do laundry. Oh my.
I just need to sit down and do it, but it's like at this point I'm staring at it and I'm like, oh my God, that's at least 3 loads of laundry.
Yeah.
Oh.
And I'm like,
I didn't do laundry for like 3 weeks because I simply did not have time.
Okay. I got to call out the birthday boy.
Where? Oh no.
Because, you know, I love Steve. You know, we've known each other for 30 years,
oh,
right?
No.
Okay. Steve does laundry once every 3 months.
Huh?
If I'm lucky.
If he's lucky.
How many? So, do you just rewear stuff?
Well, one of the explanations is because of what I don't do every day. I mean, I don't go do things, or I haven't been, or I hadn't been. And so nothing I wear gets dirty. So I just, you know, I'll wear the same T-shirt for like 2 weeks. But I don't.
I didn't know that. But I mean, jeez.
Well, my grandparents do like the same thing. If they're just sitting around, then like they rewear their clothes.
There's no reason to get, you know.
I mean, if you don't have plans, like if you have plans, then you wear the new clean clothes.
Well, yeah, you wear the clean clothes.
But like if you're just sitting around in the house, like
yeah.
See, I'll change a shirt like sometimes 2 or 3 times a day, you know, because I'm doing things. I'm moving around.
Oh yeah, exactly. You're doing things.
You know, but it's like, I don't know. It's like, I feel like we're always doing laundry, though. You know, like pants. I mean, I'll wear pants at least, you know, 2 days in a row. And after that, it has to be washed, you know. And it's like, I try to take a shower at least every day, you know.
Take a shower every day.
So it's like, I'm like going, you know, when I take this guy to go do his laundry, I mean, it's like, what, 5-7 bags of clothes.
Oh,
yeah, it's a lot. It gets to be a lot. Because for a while, what I was doing is, if I need to do laundry, I just bought more T-shirts and shorts.
Dang.
Love that, huh?
Yeah. So.
Yes. And where do you go to buy new T-shirts?
Walmart.
I was hoping you're going to say Amazon.
I know. I thought that you were going to wait for him to say Amazon.
Oh, is that still a thing?
That's still a thing, yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, you know, they have everything there.
Thanks, Steve. Way to promote our sponsor there, buddy.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Walmart. Yeah, way to drop the ball.
Walmart.
Where do you go? Walmart. That's the best thing, because you can get 12 shirts for $5.
Yeah, it's like
and they're all different sizes.
Yeah,
he has like 27 blue shirts.
Oh, he does just about. Yeah, you know, like I said, 12 shirts for $5. That's one shirt a month for Steve, so he's good.
Yeah, yeah.
He goes, that's a bargain.
It's like this shirt I have on. I wore it like two or 3 weeks ago, and I just folded it up and sat it there until I needed to wear a shirt.
Puts it out the window to air, you know, fresh, get the air fresh out, you know, and everything. Yeah. You know, forget Febreze, forget bounce or whatever. No, I just put out the window and let
shake
it air
it
out
a little bit. Yeah.
God. Oh, I still can't believe you have that roll on your head right now.
Yeah, you've never used that. Like,
no,
like,
I know, but
were there like
my hair was so perfectly straight when I woke up this morning,
and now
that I didn't want to put it up in the bun because then when I put it down, it wasn't going to be.
Oh, so the bun makes the headphones fit you.
Yeah, that's why. Yeah,
okay.
Exactly.
Yeah, typically I just have it up in a bun and then I put the headphones on.
I see,
but I. I've been like wrapping my hair in the silk when I go to bed at night, and I woke up this morning and I must have wrapped it like just extraordinarily perfectly, because when I woke up my hair was just like and straight and it didn't have any knots in it. I was like, well, this is magic.
Oh, nice.
I know, I didn't want to ruin it.
Yeah.
Fair.
I'm like my bounciness.
Yeah.
Yeah, your hair is like
my
all
hair's
woo.
Keeping the bounce. Yeah.
I know. Your curls are tight.
So anyway, so for me, it's like I've got no time for anything now.
And you have the film that cast you
in. Yeah, and now, and next week, and which is a good segue, because now we won't be here next week.
Yes.
We will be dark. We won't even do a replay of a show, so we definitely will be dark next week. And the thing is that doing a film.
That I'm producing.
That you're producing.
So
and working with a new director, Irwin.
Yes. Well, I've worked with him before, but
I haven't, because he's new to me.
Yeah.
So he still has that new director smell.
Yeah.
Which is kind of nice.
Yeah, definitely.
Because I don't like those old director smells.
Sometimes they can be...
Yeah.
Oh, new director.
Yes.
Oh, I thought something entirely different.
What did you hear?
Nude.
Oh.
Knowing him, nude. But it's called the movie's called The Totem. So I play an older guy who goes out in the desert looking for gold, basically, kind of a thing.
You can't say too much. You sound confidential.
And that's all I'm doing. Looking. Okay. I haven't signed anything, actually.
I sent you your contract like a month ago.
Did you really?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Jesus.
So it's about this guy in space who's looking for a chinchilla.
Looking for gold.
Looking for a chinchilla.
Looking for a golden chinchilla.
A golden chinchilla, and I'm going to call him Chinchilla the Wookiee Monster.
Not like Gerald or something?
No, I don't want to call him that, no. No, Chinchilla the Wookiee Monster. So,
yeah,
but it's going to be a fun thing. And
it's in the desert.
We're filming it out in Lancaster.
Yep.
Which is kind of cool.
We're traveling. We're like filming in the desert for like 3 days. Like most of the cast and crew is like staying at this Airbnb because it's kind of like far from LA and definitely far from Orange County. And And so the crew cast and I are definitely going to be bonding after like living together for like 3 days.
3 days, yeah.
Like constantly living together, going on set together for 12. If we walk away still liking each other.
That's a good thing.
Yeah.
That's a really good thing. Yeah. See, I kind of playing it smart. I called family members.
Yeah.
To see if I can stay with them.
I know.
And they're like, yeah, because I've got family up in Palmdale.
Yeah.
So.
No, there's definitely going to be a lot of us stuffed in this Airbnb. It's a big Airbnb, though.
Oh, that's good.
So, yeah, no, it's going to be so fun, though.
Well, I still want to come over and visit you guys at least, though, whatever.
Well, it's like 40 minutes out of the way, though.
Okay. I don't know. Yeah, well, I don't know where my family's house is, because they're in Palmdale as opposed to where the Lancaster location is. But the scenery, I mean, the location.
It's cool.
Yeah. Oh my God, it looks so cool.
Yeah,
it is. It looks really amazing.
Yeah, it's sick.
Yeah. So you guys are going to love it.
Yeah, I'm also doing a wound on you for the last day because I do wound makeup.
Ooh.
And so, like, the last, it's like the last.
Well, don't reveal anymore.
No, I'm just saying, the last shot, I have to put, like, a wound on you.
Uh huh.
So, like, it starts with scratches, and then for, like,
a laser blast to the head.
It starts with me just, like, putting scratches on you, and then fake scratches. And then I use, like, Dermawax.
As opposed to real scratches, yeah, means it.
I'm not. Yeah, then I put, then I'm taking, like, Dermawax, and I'm, making you have a cut.
Cool.
Yeah, it's like
it's gonna be exciting.
One of the last shots of the last scene. So
I'm actually really excited about doing this, because I haven't.
I love Western.
I haven't. Well, not just that, but I haven't acted in like 30 some years.
Oh, geez, yeah.
So it's like I went through the script with Erwin, the director, last week and everything, and just walking through the script itself in general, and so. It's going to be really interesting, and I'm really excited about it. I really am to see how it's going to develop and everything. And
And the cinematography is going to be amazing. Like
to me, reading the script, I think that's what the payoff is going to be.
Well, the cinematographer has like 12 years of experience, and he can literally do like anything.
Can he make me look thinner?
That's more on post. That's like editing.
Okay. Oh, sorry. So that's why I need a grease then, right? Slip them 100,
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, all right, cool. Make me look thinner. Can they...
Body part.
Are we doing any CGI on this thing, or...
I don't know.
Okay, because I want to see if I can get some abs going, or anything
like
that.
We can make you, 6 feet tall.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. Speaking of movies, we know what this thing means. That's right, our dear friend from the Movie Guys, Mr. Paul Preston. Paul!
Ba-da.
How are you, buddy?
What do you think of that 90s reference? I feel like bringing the kids into the show.
Yeah.
What a reference.
Now, you're in Greece now, right?
No, sir. I am back.
You're back from Greece.
Whoa.
Yes.
That's amazing.
Look at
Greece
that.
Greece was the word I've never been. It is a stunning place, especially the islands.
Oh, dude, you are so lucky, man. That is wonderful. That's one great trip, man.
It's all Mamma Mia all the time down there.
Ooh.
Ah, love it, love it, love it, love it.
Love those vibes.
That's great.
Hey, speaking of movies, so here's the idea I have for you. Use it, don't use it, whatever.
Yeah.
Shoot in 16:9, squeeze it to 4:3 just for Sean. That'll make him happy.
Oh, thanks. So all my scenes, so when the editor shoot goes just to me, then condense it down. Oh, I love it. That's awesome.
Yeah, just get the cinematographer from The Room. He'll do that. Cut between aspect ratios when you're on screen. Yeah.
And get a longer lens so that way it's more further away. So, I can look smaller and thinner.
Who am I hearing?
Oh, that strange voice?
There's a strange voice somewhere.
Steve Silva?
How you doing, Paul?
Strange? Damn decent. How's about you, my friend?
I'm doing great.
How's about you?
Doing great. Doing a lot of nothing, but doing great.
And as far as I know, you look great.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, he has the face.
And
great.
We all know it's better to look good than to feel good.
But just remember this, though, Paul. Monday, he's going to even look worse because he'll be 73.
Oh, boy.
No!
God, that just sounds so weird.
Hey, look, Harrison Ford is 80. I judge all things. And Eastwood is 91.
Yeah.
Or 92 probably by now. And Eastwood always said he just never let the old man in. So that's all you got to do. And you hang out with Steve, he wouldn't know it. He doesn't let the old man in. He acts as silly and perverted as he did when he was a teenager.
That's right. Exactly. Until you see him walk, then you know.
Well.
And then you go.
If you catch me on a good day, it's not too bad.
Hey, I just went to see The Who this week at the Bowl. I mean, what are they, 75 and 77? They
Something
got it
like
done.
That.
Yeah, look at that.
They got it done big time. Still, what do they call it? The windmilling, the guitars, swinging the mic around. They're just not jumping as much, but still, getting it done.
Exactly. Well, Paul, what movies are out there? What should we go see now, buddy?
If you want what you should see, There is a criminally underseen movie out there that is now, I think, not just in theater. It might not even be in theaters anymore. You probably just catch it online. It's called Bros. You've heard of Bros,
oh, the
Billy Eichner comedy that came out that nobody saw. And that is a shame because this is the funniest movie of the year, I think.
Oh,
and,
really?
Well, there's... Yeah, there's high.
Have
there's
you watched
high
it, Casey? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I saw Bros, and it's funny to like a 10% sliver of the population.
Tell us how you really feel, Casey.
I'm that.
Yeah, it just, and if you're outside of that 10%, it's
wait,
just
what's the 10%?
It's just cringe. Really gay.
Oh, okay.
Oh, come on.
Yeah. No, I mean, like, for real, honestly.
So like, I'd probably like, fit.
Yes, for sure.
Oh, yeah, the characters in the film actually talk about what I've been saying about gay cinema for years. It's just too sad. You know, stories of repression, homophobia, violence, all that, they need to be told, but that's it. Like,
yeah.
And all the while the characters are talking about that, they're making a film that is refreshingly not that.
Yeah.
So for me, I mean, look, if you're not laughing at the fake Hallmark woke movie titles like "Have a Holly Polly Christmas" and the exhibits in the LGBTQA plus History Museum, I mean, these things are just hilarious. And the conversations they have around the table, you know, with one representative from each, you know, wing of the gay world. I mean, it just, I thought it was hilarious. They never had a moment where they weren't trying to do a joke, and that's that works for me. You got a neurotic podcast host with commitment problems. He meets a lawyer who likes to play the field, also with commitment problems, but they give things a go. So it's not a particularly wild plot, but it is a new setting for that. And within it, I think they just find tons of funny stuff to do. Now, the opposite side of the spectrum would be the other second funniest movie of the year, or giving an argument for funniest movie of the year, would be Jackass Forever. So it's kind of funny that the two movies I've seen this year I've laughed the most at are not remotely the same. Although Jackass, kind of gay, but still, you know.
kind of gay.
Has a little bit of gay sprinkles on it.
Yeah, they're definitely comfortable with each other.
Jackass Forever was also a special situation because, I mean, I hadn't been in a theater laughing with people in like 2 years when I saw that. I mean, to that extent, you know, the kind of was the, I don't know. I'd been to comedies in the theater, but they were never quite as packed. Jackass Forever was packed opening weekend. But, you know, just something about Spider-Man No Way Home for like the big time theatrical adventure back in the theater.
Good.
And Jackass Forever, the big time comedy back in the theater, which is great. But anyway, I just think Bros was not. And if you don't like those jokes, well, it doesn't mean, if you don't get those jokes, I should say, or if they're not for you, it doesn't mean the movie isn't hilarious.
Right.
So
right.
If you think you would enjoy something like this, and it's a really sweet love story, I think.
Cool. So, all right. What's next, Paul?
Well, okay. So you asked me what I would recommend. I would also recommend Ticket to Paradise with Julia Roberts and George Clooney.
Oh,
again,
good.
You're not looking at anything that's particularly, you know, challenging here. You've got the man and his ex-wife go to Bali, Indonesia, to stop their daughter from marrying a seaweed farmer who she's gone off with after college and fallen in love with rather quickly. But they really just lean in on the stars here to be charming. But they're doing it differently than a lot of other movies because they bicker. But the bickering's actually funny. Mm-hmm. To me, too often a script is lacking and they just lean on the stars to fill in the gap. Looking at you, Melissa McCarthy. McCarthy's hilarious, but man, give her a script and have her be funny. The problem is I think they got a lot of scripts going her way that are not that great and just saying, ah, she'll make something out of it, you know, she'll fall down or flip out or something funny. But here the bickering's actually funny. And so, you know, speaking of Mamma Mia, this is from the director of Mamma Mia, Here We Go Again, so you know the level of intensity you're going to get with Ticket to Paradise. But it is charming. And to boot, Julia and George, but you also have Caitlin Dever, who I think is one of the best young actresses out there today, also having fun in this movie as well. And she needs it after just killing it in Dope Sick, which was not fun, but she was so good at that. And so I think she's one of the best young actresses out there, and she has just fun playing silly romantic comedy.
One thing I was kind of curious about, because I know, you know, Julia and George are very good friends in real life. How was the chemistry on the screen, though?
Yeah, it worked fine. I mean, I know you have had friends since like Ocean's 12, I guess, or even before then. I know they're in that together. But yeah, absolutely great. Like two stars, just starring it up. Yeah, totally works.
Nice. Very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. All right. What else should we go see, Paul?
Well, unfortunately, I have to report on another movie, but it doesn't mean you should go and see it, and that would be Black Adam. Mm.
I was wondering about this. A lot of critics didn't like it. What is wrong with this DC film?
Yeah, people don't like it either, but they're going to it because it's, you know, the big hyped-up movie. It's got Dwayne Johnson that people like, but, you know, I remember when I saw the trailer, I said, oh, it looks like they've sapped all the personality out of The Rock. Bad call. Turns out that was a bad call. Let me read you the plot synopsis here.
Okay.
In ancient Kandak, Teth Adam was bestowed with almighty powers of the gods. After using these powers for vengeance, he was imprisoned, becoming Black Adam. Nearly 5,000 years have passed, and Black Adam has gone from man to myth to legend. Now free, his unique form of justice, born out of rage, is challenged by modern-day heroes who form the Justice Society. Hawkman, Dr. Fate, Adam Smasher, and Cyclone.
Mm.
There isn't even a plot in that.
Right.
Plot description. So, like, what's he doing? Why does he do it? Who is he trying to, what's he trying to gain or achieve? Like, and all that is just missing from this. I don't know why anyone in this movie is doing anything they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Even at the beginning, they're looking for this crown, which has these mystical powers from 5,000 years ago when Black Adam was, you know, before he was sort of imprisoned.
Mm-hmm.
They're like getting it because it needs to be in a safe place. Well, clearly nobody found it for 5,000 years. It's pretty safe. Like, and
right.
Then when they get it, then it falls in the wrong hands, and then we're in trouble. Like, this happens time and time again with them. Yeah, DC is just, they're flailing. You know, the worst part is, I say to them, they're in a no-win situation now, because I always say to them, and I think I said it here with whatever their last movie was, just copy Marvel.
Right.
Marvel knows what they're doing. DC's, like, trying to copy them. I was like, don't try. Just do straight up everything they're doing. And now they do that here. They do that here, and it's terrible. I'm like, I hate that, too. You can't win. DC's is not going to win with me. So, yeah, they've got, you know, hey, look at Hawkman's jet. Well, it looks like a twin jet from X-Men. Yeah, well, look at this. Look at it flying over the city. Yeah, it looks like Black Panther. Look at this guy, Dr. Fate. It looks like Dr. Strange, kind of has the same powers. Yeah, well, Adam's pretty cool. Looks a lot like Ant-Man. Like, it's just, you know, nothing's interesting. Nothing's exciting. And
this
they
has been
cram
one of
a lot.
My favorite reviews.
The thing is, I hate to, like, come out and crap on a movie, but when you spend this much, you know, I'm not going to crap on, like, an indie film, but, yeah, because I like to always say I love movies, but you know, so it is. Oh, but the negative reviews always are more entertaining, aren't they?
Is at least the acting is at least the acting pretty decent in this, though?
Well, you know, Pierce Brosnan has the legend status and gravitas to pull off Dr. Fate. He's really good at that.
Uh-huh.
But again, The Rock, just when you take away all his charm, I mean, to me, that's the best part about him. I don't know if you ever saw Fighting with My Family.
Yeah,
that scene he has where he just rips the two young kids in half with his Rock character. I mean, this is like the greatest thing I ever saw. The other problem is it has an annoying kid problem. Now, this is something I thought we were done with 20 plus years ago with Anakin Skywalker, but whether it's that or Goldblum's daughter in the Lost World Jurassic Park, this is a decades old problem. We should be over it by now. We got the heroes doing adult shit, and a kid is there going, me, you should have a catchphrase. It's like nobody cares. I don't know. Get these kids out of the movies. I mean, I thought we did. But DC, of course, never wanted to, like, not have a bad they never saw a bad idea they didn't incorporate. Mm-hmm. They did it again. And The Rock is plagued with this, too. I don't know if you ever saw The Scorpion King, but there's a young kid in that movie, too, who does stupid stuff, gets right. everybody in trouble. Next thing you know, The Scorpion King is, like, has to action scene his way out of whatever trouble the kid got in, and nobody cares about the kid. I mean, it's between this kid and Vin Diesel, just little kids are bugging all of The Rock's movies. So,
I was afraid to hear, you know, what your take on Black Adam was, because I'm really trying. You know, I'm a DC fan, and I'm really hoping that, you know, somewhere down the line, that DC is going to get their head out of their ass and, you know, try and do a really good movie. And so far, they haven't yet, you know.
I mean, think it's the DCEU because, you know, people like the Batman, people like Joker, people like Christopher Nolan's trilogy.
Right.
But it's this attempt to be Marvel and have an extended universe that they've just failed at. They should just go back to just doing individual adventures. I try to cram so much into them.
Into the one thing.
You know?
Yeah.
Because the Justice Society of Hawkman, Dr. Fate, Adam Smasher, and Cyclone, it moves so fast. We don't really get to know who they are. You know, any character who, like,
there's no development.
Has a sacrificial moment, you're like, I kind of cared.
Right.
But not a ton, you know? And they introduce a lot of plot points very late, you know? Like, within the last 45 minutes. Oh, he controls the Army of the Dead. Oh, does he? Okay. Oh, and this guy did this on purpose because prophecy or whatever. And you're like, oh, is that a thing? Raiders of the Lost Ark, my favorite movie of all time, right? The CIA guys show up. They explain everything about how the Ark works, and off we go. You know, there's nothing like that happens 2 hours into Raiders where they go, oh, yeah, also, you know, this is a thing. You set it up and you just run with it. And this movie keeps introducing all this stuff late in the movie, and it's just confusing. And there's like a big reveal that doesn't mean anything. That's too bad. It's a shame they couldn't let the rock rock.
That's too bad. Now I got a question for you, Paul. It's been a number of years since we've seen Avatar. Now the sequel is going to be coming out pretty soon. What is your take on that?
Did I come on here and talk about seeing Avatar 3D when they re-released it in September?
Yes,
because that's all it took for me to get hyped up again. I mean, that movie is something else. So
yeah.
I'm ready, you know, bring it. I mean, I think I said this then, underestimate James Cameron at your own peril. The guy's got something up his sleeve that's going to knock everybody out, and this movie's going to be fantastic. I hear it is 3 hours, perhaps plus.
Oh, my gosh.
But he's never had a problem with pacing in the past, really, I don't think. I mean, even 3 hour and 20 minute Titanic, never, you were never sitting around going, geez, I wonder when something's going to happen. There was always something going on.
Right.
So I think that I don't think you should be scared of that time you're going to put in watching this. I think he's going to jam pack it with story and action and, you know, myth and things we've never seen before in our life. You can count on that.
I've seen some scenes from it and stuff online, and it looks like the cinematography is going to be incredible.
Yeah, which is just crazy because it's all fake, right?
but it looks real.
Yeah.
Well, the first one looks real, even. Well, yeah. I mean, the first one looks so damn good.
It's just, and there's some, it looks like, how do I explain it? It's like it's more detailed in that aspect. Mm-hmm. In their interaction with the things on the planet.
Yeah, cool. If Cameron didn't improve technology in the last 13 years, I mean, I would be shocked. So I can only imagine it's going to be much better. And they show a clip from the new movie at the end of the re-release. So there was like an extended undersea clip of what looks like Sam Worthington's, what's his character's name? I forget. His son. Swimming around and meeting some of the animals under the water, like giant whale type characters.
Oh, wow.
And it just looks amazing. You know, like the surfaces are tangible. The depth is believable. Like, I think it's going to be exciting. It's the movie of the end of the year here. That's going to be beat.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, Paul, we got to go right now, buddy, because we're going to have Odds talking about us, the World Series and everything. So thank you so much for coming on as always, my friend. You always give us new insights on all the movies to go check out and see.
I mean, we're not rooting for the Phillies, but we're all rooting against Houston, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Pretty much.
Okay. We're right. Openly rooting for the Phillies.
I think that's the deal. Yeah.
Yeah.
All
exactly.
Right.
All right, brother. Thank you so much, man. We'll talk to you next week, or actually next month, and maybe we'll do some Christmas film stuff.
Oh, yeah. A little holiday preview could be fun. All right. That is all. They never stop making movies, so this will always be fun.
Yay. All right, Paul. We'll talk to you soon, buddy. Take care. That's really too bad about Black Adam. You know, because it's I don't know what DC is doing. You know, with that whole thing, you know, and now there's talk about doing, I think Henry Cavill has finally announced that he's going to come back and do Man of Steel 2. You know, so it's like, okay, what are they going to take from the comics to do that?
Mm.
You know, because they've already kind of done two stories already in regards to that whole universe with Superman. You know, they did Batman v Superman, which was based upon a comic story where actually both of the guys are older, you know, which is The Return of the Dark Knight. But then they also did The Death of Superman, you know, where he comes back and everything.
Yeah.
So, you know, you kind of covered that, you know, without going into the whole explanation of why are there four Supermen and a super, or three Supermen and a Superboy, you know. Thank God for that. They didn't go down that road.
And a Supergirl and a Superdog. And
yeah, you know, they haven't done all that, thank God, because that would have just, I think, made a bigger mess, though, and everything. So it's, yeah, I just don't know. I mean, cinematography, to me, I think the movies look great and everything. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping for that there is some kind of explanation, some kind of plot or this or that. And it's like they're falling short for whatever, you know, for whatever reason. And I've said this from day one too, that if they get the writers from the animated series involved, because the writers from the animated series are basically taking the stories from the comics, rewriting the story a little bit, they're making small changes here and there, but still keeping to like 90% true of the story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they're doing a hell of a job to the point where, I mean, and, you know, it's animation, but now you have an R-rated animation Batman story? Hello? You know, and they're good. They're really, really good. You know, and if they could get people, those people involved in writing, I think, the live action, you know, I think then they'll have something. Yeah, but until then, they're just going to fail big time. You know. Oh, I know this thing.
That's the theme song you want to keep going.
You do. you kind of really do. Absolutely. Listening. And, of course, that theme means that Os Davis is on the phone with us to talk about the World Series. Os, how are you, sir?
I'm not bad. A lot of people, that's the best part of the sports segment of this show.
I think so, too. I think we all agree.
I got to say, first off, that when I heard Steve, I was like, oh, my God, is this a rerun?
So funny.
Do I have to call in this week? Steve, I got to say happy birthday. And you still doing voice acting? You said you're doing nothing. You guys are talking about giving each other work. You still doing voice acting?
I would be glad to.
Great. Okay, great. I got something for you. Okay. Casey knows I got more for her. Pretty soon Casey's going to give me work. She doesn't know that yet, but she's going to find me work.
I love it.
the other thing I should say too, Sean, before we get started, is Shazam. Shazam was a good DC Comics movie.
I thought so too, but a lot of critics didn't like it that much.
Yeah, I have no idea why. That was exactly the formula you used.
Yeah.
Right? And I thought it was wild too, because the villain was like, you know, this dark, grim and gritty kind of guy. And the hero is exactly what he should be. He was this shiny, optimistic, you know, buoyant kid. And it was brightly colored like the old Superman movies. And the character
was done right, because it is a kid in an adult body acting like a kid. And even in the animated series, that's how they portray him.
Sure.
You know,
yeah,
so
it's totally makes
yeah,
sense.
It was I thought it was a great movie too.
Yeah. So. And you were dead on about getting the animated writers to write this stuff too. In any case, okay, how do you want to approach this World Series? I feel like I could just do a monologue like I'm in my actors.
Well, you said it might end on game six, which is tonight, which is going to be interesting. I say it might go to game seven.
Okay.
So I think tonight we're going to find out, you know, what's actually going to happen. What do you think went wrong with the Phillies on the last game? I mean, they were so close.
Okay.
You know, but I think it was so close at the last, almost a little bit too late kind of a thing. But they could have pulled it off at the same token.
Yeah. There's a couple of things going on here. After that game five, that was a pretty good one, because most of these games have been one of these teams asserts themselves,
right,
and then they just take over. Like game two, three, four were all like that, right? Some really nasty pitching going on too, by the way. But there's this one team taking control, and that's it. It's kind of snowballs. A friend of mine after this game posted to Facebook, he said, baseball is long and stressful. And that kind of summed up this game a lot, because it was real edgier seat kind of stuff, right? After the first thing. I mean, we start the game with Justin Verlander versus Noah Syndergaard, right? Now, these are two longtime All-Stars. This is the kind of, you know, matchup you expect in a World Series game, right? The old veterans going for at least one more go here. And, you know, it was already 1-1 after one. And then, you know, it was for the Philly, Schwarber just had that killer home run. And then, but for the Astros have been doing the same thing the whole series, and that's they've been killing them with these top four batters. The top of the order single-handedly is just, well, I guess four-handedly, is destroying the Phillies. I mean, that's what's doing it, and that's what happened here. Peña, the number two batter, he hits the solo home run in the fourth. Now it's 2-1. Altuve, your buddy, Sean, you know, in the eighth, he singles, he hustles his way around, he scores. So that's 3-1. And the Phillies have to come back. Now, okay, they get a run back in the ninth. And then here's the Astros again. And this was what really got tense, because, okay, the Astros are winning 3-2. They have one more time at bat, right? They come up, and the 7, 8, and 9 hitters are coming up. Two of them get on base, and it's one out. And here comes the top of the order again.
Right.
Right? That's been producing all the runs in this series, and I'll give you the stat on that in just a minute. But here's Altuve, but Bam Bam Alec Boehm, that's it. Alec Boehm makes this nifty double play. Just snags it at third base on the corner, touches third, throws it to first, double play, out of the inning.
Right.
And man, that is the best way. If you're cheering for the home team, that's the best way to get out of an inning, right? It's just a bang, bang, double play. And so, and then it's like the bottom of the ninth. And I tell you, I don't even have a pony in this race. I don't even have a bet on this game. And you're on the edge of your seat, right? I mean, unfortunately, you know, the first batter gets out, and then, okay, so here comes JT Realmuto, right? Here's the catcher. He was the hero in game one. However, since that game, he's been 1 of 16. Okay, so here he comes up to the plate, right? One out, so not quite the last hope, but close. And he just nails it to center field. Sure enough, Chaz McCormick jumps, hits the wall, bounces off the wall, makes the catch. And that was just the deflation. It's just, the thing is, like, baseball, the way it's been this season, there's just not a lot of hitting going on. I mean, Altuve is hitting .318 in this series, but he's about the only batter hitting higher than, I think, .265, I want to say. So again, like, not a lot of hits, but that's the thing. If you don't get the breaks at this point, you're going to lose. You're going to lose these games this year. That's just the way it is. And that was the chance. That was the chance right there.
What do you think Philadelphia needs to do tonight to hopefully win this game? Because, I mean, they're going to be back in Houston tonight. So what do you think Philly needs to do? Do you think they need to change the lineup, the batting order, or anything like that?
I mean, again, it's all about – I mean, it's broken record time, but it is all about the top four in the order for the Astros. They have to find a way to keep these guys off the base paths or from hitting – home runs. Okay, look, it's Altuve, Peña, Yordan Alvarez, and Bregman, Alec Bregman, right? These guys have 14 of the 18 runs scored by Houston.
Wow.
Bregman's got 4 hits, and he's got 3 runs scored. That's what's happening. They've got to take care of the top of this order. That's really all it comes down to. Because, I mean, look, the Phillies have had some great pitching performances. They've had some great, you know, individual game performances. I mean, their free agent signing from Washington there, he was excellent in this last game. And by the way, that was another thing I wanted to discuss, too, in game. This was a weird one in game three. Right, in game three, the Phillies hit 5 home runs in a single game. Right, so there's all kinds of ways for the Phillies to win these games. It's just they're losing because of the top of the order of Houston.
Got it.
So that's what they need to do. It's nothing else that, you know, I mean, okay, so one game they're getting shut out, one game they're not hitting, the last 4 innings. Okay, fine. But they're also, like, winning these games in different ways, too. And I wanted to bring up that 5 home run game real quick, because this actually tied a record for most home runs by a team in a World Series game. And I just wanted to point this out. They tied with, okay, the 2017 Trash Can Astros, who did it, the 1989 Bash Brothers, you remember them, right? Yeah. McGuire and Konsenko, for the Oakland A's, and the 1928 New York Yankees, which included 3 home runs by some guy named Babe Ruth. Okay, so
I love that candy bar.
Yeah, this is it's awesome. It's nutty. It's nougaty. So these are the reasons why we watch the World Series, is to get, like, these historical context kind of games. Now, of course, the sports guys like to say, you know, the sportscasters and whatever, they like to say, oh, the most beautiful words in baseball are Game 7. But lately it's Game 6, right? It's Game 6 that has been known for, like, these magic games in the World Series, right? Ever since 75, when you have Carlton Fisk, you know, dancing up the first baseline for the home run in the 11th. And then you have 1986, you know, with Vin Scully, behind the bag, Buckner misses the ball. You know, you get that. In 91, you get Kirby Puckett, who had, like, one of the most dominant individual performances ever for the Twins against the Braves. You know, in 2011, you had basically a football game, 10-9 right, in Game 6. So, I mean, this is it. Now, the nice thing about Game 6 is, if we get a dramatic Game 6, that means the Phillies are going to win. Because in each of these cases, it's always the team down 3-2. That wins these games.
Right.
So if there's drama, and, you know, this series has been pretty high on drama so far. Each of these games has been very interesting, at least. We could have a real good one tonight.
Well,
and,
I hope we should go seven.
We should go seven.
I hope so, buddy. I hope so. We'll check it out tonight. What time does the game start tonight?
I believe that this is just standard time. So out here, this would be 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock. I'm ready.
5 o'clock Pacific.
All right. So let's check it out. Let's see what happens tonight with the Phillies and the Astros. And I'm kind of hoping that, it does go to game 7 just to make it more dramatic. So,
yeah.
And then,
here's a teaser for you. The next time we speak, and this is the first time in history this has ever happened, we'll talk World Cup soccer.
Oh, my God, no.
World Cup after the World Series.
Wow.
How awesome is life? How awesome is life?
It's going to be great.
Love the World Cup. World Cup is awesome.
All right, brother. Well, we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks, and we'll talk more about it, buddy.
All right. Talk to you guys later.
Hey, okay, Oz.
Nice seeing you. Nice talking to you again, Steve. Take it easy, guys.
Good to see you, Oz. You just give me a call. I'm ready.
I will do so.
Just Steve acting up like a cat in the corner. Like,
I'm sorry. I just don't like soccer.
Oh.
I just don't.
Well, I'm glad I can hear that.
They produce some of the best bodies out there.
Maybe that's what I need to do with some soccer. Get me to a soccer film. Yeah. You know?
I don't know if you look the type.
Soccer men are.
Okay, I'll tell you what. For now, I'll play the ball. I'll play the ball, and then later on I'll
be... try to sell you to casting. I'll try.
Okay, all right.
I'll do my best. You all know, I can do is put you in the room.
Okay, all right. I can roll around. I can
we'll see.
Do whatever.
All I can do is put you in the room.
I can try and bend it like Beckham, you know?
Yeah,
I can walk around and curve myself, you know?
Yeah, you know, we'll see. Do you have, like, gymnastics as a skill?
forward roll, somersault?
I can try.
I do.
Woo!
I can try. I mean, I can roll on the ground.
Sorry, I think I have to cast Casey.
Yeah, but I'm more rounder than Casey.
She has gymnastics.
Shit. Man,
I don't even have a soccer film.
Well, you know what?
She's like, but now I need one.
Well, just for that, I'm gonna read your damn horoscope then.
Aries.
There it is.
It doesn't like the side of my finger.
It likes the tip.
Silence.
All right. Well, since the 73-year-old is in the room.
Hey, where? he made it up the
I
stairs.
Don't see him.
Amazingly, isn't it? So we're going to read Scorpio first, buddy.
Oh, boy.
All right. Here we go. The cosmic climate this month is a bittersweet one for you, my friend, because the stars align to bring you both blessings and challenges. On the one hand, you'll be feeling clear-headed. Yeah, right.
Well.
And motivated to wholeheartedly work toward your goal.
Well, that sounds good.
Yeah. Unfortunately, though, you may also second guess your abilities.
Oh, no. That's
well,
true.
You're at that age. issues from the past could also put obstacles on your path, making it important that you take an honest look at yourself and your relationships, cutting ties with anyone or anything that tends to get in the way of your dreams. Mm. Now, stepping into your power might require you to do quite a bit of internal work. I think you do a lot of internal work already as it is, though, especially on November 11th, which is coming up. So lean into your logic right now, discrediting negative thought patterns that might be playing games with your confidence. Emotional or mental exhaustion could also cause you to feel unmotivated, and you'll likely need to schedule some extra time for solitude and relaxation, as if you already don't do that now.
Yeah, I don't know
I
about that.
I think you do too
much. Too much.
Too much, exactly. Yeah. Too much of that
too
right now.
Too much.
Now,
why does that work?
Retirement.
Yeah.
Now, you'll notice a shift on the 22nd. And
what?
You'll notice a shift.
Oh, shift.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you take a shit on the 22nd, that'd be a miracle, too.
Well, I hope I do.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good movement. And you'll begin to see your hard work, effort, and optimism pay off. The other side will be eager to bless you throughout this time as well. So be sure to meditate, I don't know about that, often while asking the universe for assistance. So
the
there
universe.
You go.
Oh, that, yeah. Nothing about sex, huh?
Nope, nothing about sex. So,
damn it.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, where are you going to meet someone? The garage?
Wow!
Wow! Oh, yeah. Well,
holy
you know,
cow!
That's true. Yeah.
Boy. Zing!
He's just hoping for a nice neighbor. Okay?
Yeah, oh, or like a male woman.
He's
he likes
guy.
Them just
a male
just,
woman.
Well, I think she meant woman. Male as in like postal.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay.
Wait. Now I can see where I'm, there was. Okay.
I thought you might be going. Hi, my name's Debbie.
Male woman.
I think my balls
male,
hang lower
like,
than yours.
Like a male man, but like
male
woman.
Man.
You know?
Postal letter
postal,
carrier.
Yeah.
Postal.
Can you shave my back for me?
Oh, God.
I got a tree trimmer, so you can shave my back for me.
I can. See how
I'm a postal worker.
I can hear how that was like sounded weird.
I walk
yeah,
around
I just,
a male woman.
I walk around so much. I got big thighs. I can crack walnuts between them.
Okay.
Okay. Gemini.
Okay. Gemini. Hey, is Debbie still here? Or did she just leave?
Debbie's gone.
Debbie's
gone. Gemini. The power of change will be on your side this month, sweet Gemini.
Oh, good.
Encouraging you to adopt new and healthier habits. Though, proceeding with this personal evolution may take dedication and hard work on your part.
Yeah, but I got no time. 12-hour days.
Unfortunately,
Monday to Thursday.
Finding the motivation and momentum to modify your ways might feel like an uphill battle.
It's always been an uphill battle.
Permit yourself to take things slowly. but try to use this energy as an opportunity to analyze your daily routines and the direct impact that they have on your health.
I'm sitting on my ass 12 hours a day. That's the problem.
Restricting substances like sugar, caffeine, and...
As she looks at the full throttle that she gave me earlier.
And alcohol will also be to your benefit, and you'll quickly realize the effects it has on your energy levels and physical endurance.
Well, luckily, I mean, the full throttle thing, though, that's like once a week, so that's rare.
Don't worry, though.
Okay, I won't.
There's no need to completely abandon your guilty pleasures. Through moderation can help you enjoy the best of both worlds.
See, so keep bringing them.
I know, only once a week, though.
Only once a week, that's only, all
yeah, love begins to fill the air once Venus enters Sagittarius on November 15th.
Lucky them.
Your heart and mind can work in tandem under these celestial conditions, helping you forge and maintain healthy connections.
Oh, good.
You might also find that the people around you are more agreeable than usual because your aura has a comforting and calming effect on them.
Steve, what do you think?
Yeah.
Thank you, Nia, for that. I appreciate that because that's what I was going for. Okay.
You may also find yourself with a new admirer or two. Permit yourself to embrace your flirty side, even if you're not on the hunt for a serious connection.
Oh, wow. In that case, Casey.
There you go, Casanova.
How you doing?
How you doing?
Unfortunately, I'm on the
hunt. I know. We haven't done it. We haven't done a Hey Casey.
I know.
Sketch
we should
a while.
Do one. We should, oh, you know what we should do? A Thanksgiving one.
Yeah.
We got to do a Thanksgiving one. Look at Nia already. She's like, I don't know about that.
Hey, Nia.
I don't know.
You want to stuff my turkey?
I think it's been a good, like, almost a year since we've done one of those.
I know.
Yeah. Like, which we've only been here for a year. But, like, even
I noticed she smiled when you said that, though.
Guess where I like the attention from.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, anyway, okay.
Okay.
Who else we got?
Me now?
Yeah, go for it, Nia.
We have Leo.
Roar.
Roar.
Yeah. The universe is asking you to process a lot right now, sweet Leo. You need to nurture your heart and mind while taking an honest look at your identity and what's important to you. Scorpio season dares you to be vulnerable, so you might feel less career-focused and more concerned with family matters or intimate connections. However, there could also be particularly intense moments, because the stars align to reveal where there might be abuse or toxicity in your dynamics.
Uh-oh.
Well, don't be afraid to step into your power or walk away if you feel someone isn't respecting you, even if the idea of doing so is scary at first.
I respect you.
Important lessons around setting boundaries might come into play during the Taurus full moon on November 8th, and self-preservation will be a major theme for you. A desire to succeed in your professional and personal lives can give you the strength to finally seek escape from anyone or anything that has been holding you down, while emotional closure will also be up for grabs on an internal level. Luckily, the vibe becomes lighter and more playful on the 22nd, pushing you to live freely while pursuing your desires and interests. This luminary placement permits you to relax a tad, trusting that sometimes the journey ahead requires you to lean into adventure and the unknown. Just try not to deviate too far from your goals. Keep your eyes peeled for opportunities to prove yourself.
All right. So,
good to know.
Yeah.
I know.
Mateo better beware then.
Be leery.
Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. He's going to be in big trouble.
Okay. Hi, Nia.
Hi.
How you been?
Good.
It's really good to see you again. I'm glad you're here.
I feel like that comes with a butt. Like, just like, there's like a sentence.
Everybody typically comes with a butt.
Oh, okay. I mean,
some are bigger than others. Some are kind of like a nice little apple.
Like that was
we
an
got
unfinished.
Firm butts, we got saggy butts.
What was
we
that in Pee Wee's Big Adventure? You know, everybody's got a big butt. Tell me about your big butt.
I like big butts.
Okay. We got Aries. The universe will ask you to do some serious purging this month, dear Aries, as the sector of your chart that governs death and rebirth.
Whoa, that's heavy.
Use this energy to move away from people or situations that have been weighing you down as you commit to those that support and lift you. Meanwhile, like I'm watching Stephen Colbert. Meanwhile, reflect upon the actions that have you that have led you to this point. Acknowledging and moving past unhealthy behavioral patterns will be a major lesson for you now, especially on November 11th, making it important that you take a compassionate yet honest look at yourself. Luckily, you'll benefit from some extra love and attention from the universe starting on the 15th. This planetary placement can help you find the light at the end of any dark tunnels you may have stumbled into. Though you'll need to be proactive about finding your gratitude and opening your heart to joy. Now, positive mantras will be particularly helpful on November 17th, and you'll want to keep your eyes peeled for signs and synchronicities. The other side, that's a great album by Sting.
Signs and Synchronicities?
Synchronicity. Oh. That's a police album. It's a police album.
Is it a police album or is it a Sting album?
No.
Okay.
No.
Anyway, the other side will be eager to communicate with you and guide you. Now, these sentiments will be amplified on the 22nd, reinvigorating your optimism, sense of peace, and connection with the universe. Boy, you got a serious one.
Yeah.
Wow. Sounds like it. Yeah. Oh, boy. Yeah. All right. And that's all for horoscopes there, I think?
Oh.
That's everybody?
Yeah.
All right. Awesome.
Oh. I don't know why your mic's off.
Oh, you pushed it. Why did you push my mic off?
It should be Forrest.
Yeah.
There we go.
There you go. I know. Anyway.
The blood crazy.
Well, you know, guys, as we all know, Election Day is coming up very, very quick, of course, and only a few days away. Everyone's wondering who will control the House, who will control the Senate, what governors will be elected in the battling states. But most importantly, here at Your Weekly Dose, we're wondering who will be the mayor of Los Angeles. Will it be Karen Bass? Will it be Rick Caruso? Or will it be the new contender? That's right. On the phone with us is the latest candidate for mayor of Los Angeles, Mr. Richard Long, who's recently threw in his hat into the mayoral race at the last minute. Mr. Long, how are you doing, sir?
I'm doing just fine, thank you for asking.
Mr. Long, what made you decide to jump into the race today with only 3 days left before the election?
Well, you see, I'm running a totally different campaign. I just want to make sure that people get out and vote. And if they vote, they can vote for me because I stand behind every mother in the city of Los Angeles.
Okay, I'm not too sure what you mean by that, but can you explain?
Well, if I'm voted in as mayor of Los Angeles, I will be giving my full support to a new bill on the ballot. It's House Bill number 668-4377. This bill is lovingly called the Mother's Day Bill.
Okay, and what does this bill exactly do?
Now, this bill will give mothers even greater respect than they already enjoy than just on that one day of the year that is dedicated to moms. It's a very complex bill and difficult to explain, but to sum it up, basically it would make it illegal to tell your mama jokes on Mother's Day.
Okay, but why is this so important to you?
Well, to me, Mother's Day is a very sacred day, and they should be cherished. Therefore, jokes like, your mama's underarm is so hairy it looks like she's given a chimpanzee a headlock, should never be permitted. Jokes like that should never be told on Mother's Day. That's what I believe in and the platform that I'm running on.
Okay, so you want to outlaw all jokes about mothers?
Well, mainly jokes like, your mom is so fat that when she steps on the scale, it says, to be continued. Or maybe your mom is so ugly that when she entered an ugly contest, they said, sorry, no professionals.
Okay, so there's no room for these type of jokes at all, then?
No, of course not. and I promise that if this bill passes, you will not even hear jokes like, your mom is so fat that when she fell in love, she broke it. Or...
Okay.
Your mom is so ugly that when she looks out the window, she gets arrested for mooning the neighbors. These jokes are awful. Never be told.
Yeah, so you can't say these type of jokes anymore.
No, sir. You can't even say jokes like, your mom is so hairy, Bigfoot took her picture.
Mia is trying so hard.
your mom is so fat that when she goes camping, the bears hide their food.
Okay, that was funny.
or like this one. Your mom is so stupid, she thought a quarterback was a refund. There's also the classic that says, your mom is so short. When she went to see Santa, he told her to get back to work.
Okay.
Get it, because she's like an elf.
Yeah. Or, your mom is so old, she walked out of a museum and the alarm went off. I'm not laughing at these. These are
no, these are
funny.
Not jokes that...
They're not
that,
funny.
That this is what the new bill is trying to prevent.
Or this one here. Your mom is so stupid, she put airbags on her computer in case it crashed.
I think Neil liked that one.
These are the type of jokes that should never be told on Mother's Day. And if you agree with me, then elect me as mayor of Los Angeles, and I will make sure bill number 6684377 passes so mothers everywhere can get the respect they deserve. But if you find them funny, then you can vote for the other two.
Well, okay. That sounds like something we have a new choice now.
Oh, yeah. Well, thanks for having me on, and don't forget to vote.
All right. Well, thank you, Mr. Long, for coming on our show. We appreciate it. So, here, there you go, guys. The new candidate, Mr. Long, wants us to refrain from doing your mama jokes. Want to switch the mic?
He said, I'm no Edo.
Whoa, where did you come from?
Whoa. It just sounds like he's really behind women as often as he can get there.
Yeah, exactly.
As often as he can get there.
And you're trying to decide what mic to use.
He was at a decision paralysis.
Oh my God, that was good. Yeah, I'm so glad you're sitting in for Forrest, man. That's
she fell in love and broke it.
I love the fact that so hairy that Bigfoot took a picture of her. Wow. Oh, so good. So good. All right. Well, should we play the game, guys?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Steve's in the room, so we're going to let Steve go ahead and
do
this.
Oh, my God. I got to come up with something.
Yeah. Because Casey, I got to say, Casey's been doing a damn good job of coming up with certain things and whatever. The last 2 weeks, I came up with crap because Casey wasn't here. You know, and she tries to do it in your voice, which never sounds like you.
Never.
You know.
But the effort's there.
The effort is definitely there, 110%. But since we have the man, the myth, the legend in the room, here we go.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, it's time for the amazing game show that actually caused Major League Baseball to ban all trash cans at the World Series. Quiz me.
Quiz you.
And as usual, he went over the times, which is great. So that's awesome.
That was phenomenal. That was great.
I had to think about it.
I know. It was kind of hard there. That 73-year-old mind.
Yeah. It just don't operate as fast as it used to.
Got to feed the mouse a little bit more.
I thought that was pretty good. It usually takes me like a whole show to come up with something.
She's like thinking about it when she walks in the door, you know?
That's funny. I didn't even, it's not on the list.
that we're going to play the game. So I didn't think it was game. So when you turned to look at me, I'm like, uh-oh.
And as usual, you pull through with no problem, brother.
Oh, good.
All right. Well, we got intern Christopher out there with all the questions. How you doing, young man?
I'm doing pretty good.
All right. Let's kick this thing off.
Yes, we will. We'll start off with question number one, as we always do. Because it'd be weird to start with question number two, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you guys start with number one.
Of course, we wouldn't know.
Yeah. Some of us can't count. All right. What planet did NASA's Opportunity rover land on?
Oh, Sean.
Sean.
Mars.
That is correct.
Aha!
Sorry, I was thinking something else.
Uranus?
There's a lot of action there.
Yeah, there is an awful lot of action.
There's also a lot of action in question number two. How many years did it take for the Boston Red Sox to finally break their World Series drought?
Oh, God.
Casey. 50 years.
No.
Sean. 75.
No. Sean is the closest guy.
Steve. Now, one of them was 104 years, but I think that may have been the Cubs.
It's not 104
years.
It's
not 104
years.
It's
not 104, no.
Yeah, that's you.
That might be a different team, though.
95.
No, Nia, I believe, is now the closest, though it is a bit lower.
Sean. 92.
No.
Casey. 93.
No. Go down. Back.
Steve.
Back. Steve.
87.
No. Really close.
What number did I say?
95, I thought.
Steve is the closest, though.
Nia. 98.
No, I just said Steve's the closest.
Wait, what was Steve?
87 or something like that.
You said 87? I thought you said 97.
No, not 89.
Sean.
89.
88.
She just said that. No. Oh.
Sorry, I got to listen to the show later.
Steve.
42.
No.
Are you kidding me? All
right.
Wait, Nia.
80.
Yes. 80 is the good. No. It's 86.
86 years. Oh. Wow. To break the big Bambino curse.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Okay.
The clock just stopped. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Question number three.
Well, we can
shut there. All right.
The clock shut down.
What was the first attraction to be added to Disneyland?
Ooh, the first attraction to be added.
Like, Casey? Obviously,
come on, Steve.
Casey?
The castle?
No. Like, obviously, it opened up with a certain number of attractions, but the first one to be added, like, after it first opened.
Like a ride specifically?
No, not a ride. An attraction.
I can't remember. Oh, I do know.
Come on, Steve. You were there.
Was it something in, like, Tomorrowland?
Maybe.
Silence?
Maybe not. The first attraction to be added. Okay, Pirates of the Caribbean, I know, was the last one that involved Walt Disney.
Oh, that was way later.
Sean. Casey Jr.?
Yes, that is correct. The Casey Jr. Circus Train.
All right.
Wow.
That's why I went choo-choo.
I didn't even notice the hint.
I don't even know that's a thing. What is that?
Yeah.
Casey Jr.? It's based off of the movie Dumbo, and it's the train that Dumbo rides in, which is the Casey Jr. train. And it's a small train that goes through Fantasyland.
Yeah, that's a Casey reference I have never known.
Yeah, well, Casey's spelled with a C.
Well, yeah, it doesn't matter.
But yeah. Yeah.
Usually it's like Casey at the Bat, Casey Kasem, right. Casey and the Sunshine Band, Casey JoJo.
Ooh, ooh.
Well, let's hope Casey gets question number four right.
Yeah.
What a segue, huh?
I know, right? I'm very good at these. All right. What was Green Day's first album to reach number one?
Casey. American Idiot.
That is correct. And she got it. Woo! She got
right,
question four right. She lived up to all the expectations and then some.
Just the noise went really big.
Yes, it did. Question number five. In Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban, character became a rat?
I wanted you to ask me who they became.
Steve.
Pettigrew. Yes, yeah. Peter Pettigrew.
I like knew Peter the Pettigrew. Actor. I saw the actor.
I wanted you head. To say who it was, and I'll tell you what he became.
Oh, no. No, I went the opposite route.
I know.
All right, question number six.
Oh, wait. I got a bonus question, though.
Okay.
What was his other name that he went by?
Marauder? runner?
Oh, man.
No. Like the name of the rat? Is that what you're saying?
No.
Well, they had another... Yeah, I know what you mean. I can't remember.
Oh, I know what you're saying.
Wormtail.
Yep, Wormtail.
Wormtail.
Yeah.
Wormtail. Because his name was also in Marauder's Map.
Right.
Yeah.
Ha ha!
Good job.
Yeah, don't get no points.
All right, okay. So for question number six, we have, what is the name of the day that was the largest seaborne invasion in history?
Steve.
D-Day. That is correct.
I was there.
Wow.
Wow.
Just chilling on the beach in an armchair.
Yeah.
Hiding behind the boat.
Chilling on
they
the
started
beach.
Making so much noise while I was sitting there sunning myself.
Trying to play volleyball. Trying to get a suntan.
Drinking a pina colada.
On
you know,
the French coast.
All the works. All right, question number seven. Which football team made their Super Bowl debut in 2004?
Sean. Carolina Panthers?
That is correct.
Ah!
Rare.
Meow.
All right, question number eight.
Did you hear that big?
Just look what the cat dragged in. All right. The strongest earthquake of all time measured how much on the Richter scale?
Steve. 9.4.
No, that is so close. Oh, my gosh.
Nia. 10.
No.
Sean.
9.5. That is correct, Sean. Man, you're doing good.
I don't know where, though, but it was a 9.5.
Yeah.
Alaska, maybe?
No, not Alaska.
San Francisco was a 6.1, I think, in 1908.
Yeah.
No, it was an 8 something. 1908 earthquake.
No, 8?
Are we on question 8?
Oh, no, it was larger. It was a... It was larger.
Question 8, but we're moving on to question 9, though.
Yay.
Okay,
let's go. Come on. Give us the question.
All right. What famous Star Trek actor made his film debut in The Princess Diaries 2?
Whoa, say that again?
I haven't seen that at all.
Star Trek actor?
Which famous Star Trek actor made his film debut in The Princess Diaries?
Casey.
You said her name first, though.
George Takaru.
No,
it's the new guy.
Are you going to say your name, or?
Son of a... He plays Kirk in the... He's the young Kirk. Whatever his name is. Sean, the young Kirk guy that plays, and he was the other prince
you're really good with
in
words.
The Princess Bride,
yeah,
too.
He is.
Or,
he's good with names.
Damn it, I can't
names.
Know his names.
Oh, Chris Pine?
Chris Pine.
Oh, okay. That's
here, you guys can split the point.
Yeah.
Ooh,
you work together.
Yeah.
All right.
And by the way, the 1908 earthquake was 7.8.
Yeah.
So it was almost a 7.8.
Yeah. And what really destroyed the city was the fact that the majority of the buildings were all brick and mortar.
Yeah, they weren't built well. Plus, it was built on a soft.
Yeah, well, part of the area, like the what do they call it? The Marina District is all sand. It was filled with sand, so you get that liquefaction thing.
Mm. Well, there's some history for you and some science.
Absolutely.
As we move on to the final question, question number 10.
Science.
Finally.
I know, right? It's been forever. All right. What was the first U.S. city to host the Summer Olympic Games?
Steve? Los Angeles.
No.
Casey. Atlanta, Georgia?
No.
The first Summer Olympics.
To host. Now say that. Read the question again because it.
What was the first U.S. city to host the Summer Olympic
the
Games?
Summer Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
Nia. Miami, Florida?
No.
Okay, so the first L.A. was in 1932. Steve was about 7 years old.
Where the hell was it?
Steve?
St. Louis.
That is correct! St. Louis, Missouri.
That's so random.
Nice job, brother. Good pull.
Why?
Good pull.
Well, why did they pick that place? In the summer, too? Do you know how humid it would be?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Like, why would you pick the Midwest? Who? That is.
Send your cards and letters to
Atlanta,
Nia.
Too.
Crazy people. Crazy people.
Send your cards and letters to yourweeklydose1@gmail.com. And basically address it to Nia and go, what is she talking about?
No, why would they pick Missouri? It's misery. You know?
Well, it's the Olympic. It's challenging, I guess. Who knows? Who knows? Alrighty, guys.
Maybe because it's cheap.
While she's still thinking about it. Show's website is yourweeklydose.com. Facebook page is Your Weekly Dose. Twitter and Instagram is at yourweeklydose1.
I have no idea. I'm on Twitter. At silverlining69.
Yes.
Okay. Are you on Twitter or do you just have a Twitter?
Both.
I have followers on TikTok.
Wow.
You have a TikTok?
I have the app on my phone.
Oh.
And somehow.
You've got followers.
It sent me like an email or something saying that I.
Well, hot damn.
What?
Hot damn.
That was weird. On Facebook, I'm just Steve Silva. Right.
I am still out of Facebook jail. You can find me at Casey N. Summers.
We need to change that.
I've been busy. I haven't even been on.
Curse you.
The only thing I've been doing is looking for jobs and working.
Yeah. I'm in Nia Keely has all the pointers. Come to me. I'm Nia Caitlin Ketstever on Instagram, Ketstever Studios on Instagram, and The Passion Project Volume 1 on YouTube.
See, I just make it simple for everybody on all my social media. It's simply Sean R. Unplugged. I make it easy, simple.
Yeah, but you don't have like three projects going on.
No, I got no time because, 8 to 5, I'm with Yamaha, and then 5:30 to
Instagrams for different
whatever,
things.
Then I'm with the studios teaching people and everything.
Instagram,
and
studio like Instagram,
I'm just a musician just trying to make a living here and nothing else.
All right.
All right. All right, guys, take care of yourselves. We'll see you next week. Have a good one. Be good to each other.
Right, goodbye, world.
Listening to this week's show. Don't forget to support the show by shopping on Amazon. Just go to our website, yourweeklydose.com, click on the Amazon banner and bookmark, then start shopping. Remember to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at yourweeklydose1 and Facebook at yourweeklydose. We'll see you next week.